grateful for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. Pray that you guide and direct in all the aspects of the service. Amen. Pray that you continue to guide and direct our pastor as he leads us here. Pray that you would give him the strength he needs and guide him and direct him in the way you would have us go. I pray for those who are not able to be with us tonight. Pray that you would encourage and strengthen each one. Those who are traveling, give safety. To those who are struggling physically, I pray that you would encourage and strengthen each one according to your will and way. Our desire would be to see each one restored to full health and strength, but we leave all of that in your hands, knowing your way is always best. And even in the midst of our struggles, your strength can shine through. Pray for those who aren't able to be here on night services due to advancing years and difficulty seeing. I pray that you would give them an extra special measure of your grace tonight and help them to know that we're thinking of them. We hope they're doing well. We desire to see them again on Sunday morning if you should care. Give us a good evening. We pray that your will be done. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. If you would, stand with me and turn to page 357. We're going to sing He Ransomed Me.
Hey.
We're going to sing it a cappella. This is my dad's favorite song, so I expect to hear him loud and clear. Page 357, He Ransomed Me. There's a sweet and blessed story of the Christ who came from glory just to rescue me from sin and misery. He in loving kindness sought me and from sin and shame had brought me.
Hey! grateful to be ransomed. I definitely deserve it, but I'm thankful for what Christ did for me. If you want to turn with me to page 380. Page 380.
Jesus saved.
Buildup due to circulation issues and also from stress. So he had me on a few natural treatments for the next several months. I'm also trying some osteopathic therapy sessions to see if that helps. Marcy still has headaches from her concussion, or gets them sometimes too. Along with cold and other nagging health issues, we very much desire and appreciate your prayers for our health. On a positive note, Christy has been doing well, and the medication reduction has gone well. Well, all of a sudden I'm having a serious left contact issue. Sorry if I'm stumbling. We always enjoy our times and services with our people. Mariana comes as she can, but she has been continuing to deal with sickness off and on. Yon is back from Germany and has come to a few services. Ika, Gina's mother-in-law, has been coming, and David and Isabella, Gina's grandchildren, have come to some of the children's classes. It's a blessing to see them learning. We pray for their salvation as well as Yon's. My sister Joanna came for a surprise visit for a few days from Germany. It was a wonderful surprise for our parents and so good to be able to spend a little time with her. Their family would love to come for a visit. COVID restrictions have been an issue, but today Romania's state of alert is over, so there is no longer a requirement for a green certificate to enter Romania. Also, the restrictions are being relaxed, for which we are very grateful. We believe this will lead to more ministry opportunities. We have been putting tracks in the gates of those in our neighborhood and hope people will be more open to contact with the ending of the COVID restrictions. Enjoy the pictures of one of our outreaches. As always, thank you so much for your faithful prayers and care for us and our ministries. It means so much, and God will bless you for your part in this work. In his service, Jonathan, Christy, Corey, and Marcy. I got my eye back. Just had an issue there for a second. I thought I was going to lose my contact. All right, if you would, we're going to turn to... Do you have any announcements? We're going to turn to page 145. If you're willing and able, stand with me. We're going to sing Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary.
Thank you. Amen. You take your Bible tonight. Lord willing, here we're going to finish up 2 Peter this evening. Look at three things in the latter part here of 2 Peter chapter number 3. I just want to pull out three things from these last remaining verses and see if we can get something from the Lord this evening from these three words found in the last couple verses here in 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll start here tonight in verse number 12, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 12. The Bible says, "Looking forward, hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this opportunity tonight. Lord, I pray you just lead, guide, and direct, dear God, the thoughts of our heart. And Lord, just help us to pull out from these last remaining verses here in 2 Peter, Lord, to get what we need to help us in these last days that we're living in. Lord, help us to stay faithful. Lord, help us not to fall from our own steadfastness, Lord. Lord, help us to examine ourselves, dear God. Help us to daily walk with you. Help us to draw closer to you. And Lord, I just ask for your help tonight, dear God. Lord, I don't deserve to be up here, dear God. And I just ask for your help. And Lord, just for direction, clarity. And Lord, just give what's needed, Father, we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. As we close up here, 2 Peter, going back through the three chapters, you see as you read through the epistles of Paul, and you go in here to 1 Peter and 2 Peter and even through John, you kind of see some of the same things. And as we look at the final couple verses here in Peter, we started off in the first chapter of basically the Lord giving us through Peter writing down what the Lord had him to write down, things that would help us to be partakers of the divine nature. And I guess tonight I want to close these things up tonight, and the theme that we've looked at through this book here, and even through sort of what is found in 1 Thessalonians, of finishing our course, keeping the faith, being obedient to the end, and making sure that we're where we need to be if the Lord should come this evening. He says here in 2 Peter chapter 3 in the last couple verses, in verse 15, it says, "And count that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation." Kind of touched on that Sunday night, looking at how right now the salvation is being provided for all individuals. And God's wrath, the Bible says, abides upon the children of disobedience. Yet I believe it's God's long-suffering that is holding back the hand of God's wrath. God's long-suffering holding back the hand of God's wrath. God's long-suffering, the Bible says, if you look over at chapter 3, verse 9, that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. What God's promised, he's going to accomplish it, as some men count slackness. But his long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's not willing that any should perish, but that individuals would come to repentance, that they would turn from sin and self and turn to God through Jesus Christ, the Son, and be saved. But Peter goes on to write here in these last verses, says, "Even as our beloved brother Paul." Ain't that very interesting that he calls him beloved? Ain't that interesting? You know why I find it interesting? Because Paul rebuked him to the face. Paul said, "You're wrong." And Paul dealt with Peter. Yet as you read through both Paul's accounts and even Peter, you find how they change. Look at what I mean by that. And I don't know, this may just be coincidence. I don't know. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. I don't know, this could just be a coincidence. I don't know. Just take it for what it's worth. But look, I find it just interesting. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Right? 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Very interesting. I don't know. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Look what it says. Simon Peter, a servant, and an apostle of Jesus Christ. He had a little word in there from the last letter he wrote, and he put in there, servant. I don't know. I don't know if Peter changed. I don't know if it's a coincidence. I don't know. But I just find it interesting. I heard a preacher mention something of Paul in some of his letters addressing how eventually he gets to the point as he's towards the end of his life and he's writing Timothy, and he says, basically, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Not even apostle, disciple, you know, just the chief. By the end of Paul's life, he's like, I'm the chiefest of sinners. I don't know about you, brethren, but it seems like the longer I'm saved, the more I strive to live for God, the more I feel like I let him down. The more I try to live for the Lord, strive for God, get in my Bible, try to do the things you want to try to do right, the more you realize how much of a failure you really are, and how good God is, and how wonderful he is. And it just makes me wonder here with Peter. He writes his second letter, and he says, instead of putting the apostle thing first, he puts the servant thing first. And you find towards the end of his letter here, he refers to Paul as beloved, a beloved brother, a beloved brother. He goes on to say, according to the wisdom, a beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all the epistles, in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Now we're going to look at three words tonight as we try to finish up this chapter. One of them being unlearned, the other one being unstable, and the last one being steadfast, the word steadfastness. Paul, or Peter, even acknowledges, here's an apostle, here's a man that was in the inner three that walked with Jesus Christ. Here's a man that was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Here's a man that had a close, close relationship with Jesus Christ. Walked with him for three and a half years or so. Had a close relationship with him. Saw him after he rose again from the dead. Peter had a close walk with the Lord. Yet Peter makes mention here, you would think of anybody that would have the ability to really understand the scriptures and inside track on it, as we would think, it would be Peter. Yet maybe here we read, and I don't know again, but he says here about Paul that as also in all his epistles, it makes me wonder if in some instances Peter had an opportunity to read some of the letters that Paul wrote to some of the churches. I don't know. But he does make mention and say, as in also all his epistles, not just one, there's many of them that he knew of. We knew one was written to the church of Laodicea, which we don't find in the scriptures, but there was also a letter written there. Maybe Peter had an opportunity at some point to read that letter that Paul wrote. But it's interesting, as here's an apostle, here's a servant, here's an individual that walked close with the Lord, yet he says the things that Paul wrote, some of those things are hard to be understood. And there's nothing wrong with that, brethren. There's nothing wrong with reading through the Bible and not understanding something. If you can read through the Bible and think you can explain everything that is in the Bible, you're greatly deceived in my mind. Anybody that can say, oh, yeah, I got the Bible down, well, you're showing me you're not reading your Bible. Right? That's a clear indication you're not reading your Bible. Because if you're reading your Bible, the more you realize you read it, the more you realize, well, I don't understand this, or be a little more careful on this, and yeah, this may say this, but I'm not sure. Peter, I'm glad for Peter's honesty saying, there's some hard things that Paul wrote, and I don't even understand them. They're hard to understand. But he says here, it says, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are, look what it says now, and they that are unlearned and unstable, they rest it. And what that word rest means is that it means they twist it around. They make it say something that it's not saying. All right? Now, you take Calvinism, for instance. There's just an elect few that God saved. What do you do with 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9? Who would have all men to be saved? All men. Not just a select few that God chose, but the Bible says that God would have all men to be saved. And I believe that's part of God's long-suffering today. I believe that we haven't seen the wrath of God or God ending this thing right now is because God desires for all men to be saved. For someone else to get into the kingdom. For someone else to hear the gospel, receive the gospel, and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Peter says, though, that some of the things that Paul wrote, they're hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable, they rest. Means they distort the scriptures. They turn from the truth or twist from its natural meaning by violence. It also means to pervert. They pervert the scriptures. They distort the scriptures. They turn from the truth of what the scriptures are actually saying. And we find that principle, what Peter's talking about in chapter number 2. Where he talks about how there used to be false prophets and now there be false teachers and false apostles who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. All right, they're unlearned, they're unstable, and they rest, they twist, they distort what the Bible says. That's why it's so important for us to read our Bibles. That's why it's so important to read your Bible. That's why it's so important, I believe, I say this often, but I believe it's necessary to be in church. I'll say it again. I believe if the doors are open and you're well and there's not a major issue or an emergency, you need to be in church. You need to be in church. Not because I'm here or I'm pastor, but just to hear the Bible. If anything, just hear the scriptures. Just turn in your Bibles and know the scriptures. You know, the Bible is our sword. It's our sword. And we ought to be familiar with our sword. We ought to know where the books of the Bible are found in the Bible. Because it helps us to know when something's amiss. When somebody's saying something that's not right. I don't know about you, but I can often, for the most part, not all, I don't say every time, but sometimes you can pick out when it's not a King James verse. Somebody starts reading, you're like, Or you go to a store and you see something up, something to put up in your house for decoration. It's got a verse on it. And you're like, I don't think that's King James. Right? That's because you're reading your Bible and you stay in your scriptures and you know when you see something, yeah, that's not what the Bible says or that's not what the Bible means. All right. So he says, though, that there's individuals out there that they're unlearned and they're unstable. Now, the definition of unlearned can mean quite a few things. Unlearned can mean forgotten. It can mean ignorant. It can mean not instructed. And it can mean not gained by study. Take your Bible, look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. All right? They're unlearned. They're unstable. These individuals that rest the scriptures. And they twist them and they distort the scriptures to their own destruction, Peter says, about what Paul's written. He says they'll take the Bible, they'll take the scriptures, and because they're unlearned, because they're unstable, they'll twist, they'll distort, and they'll pervert what the Bible says. To what? To their own destruction. All right? Not everybody that claims to love Jesus really loves Jesus. Okay? Not everybody that claims to follow God really loves God. Take your Bible, look at 2 Timothy 3, verse number 1. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. I believe we're there. All right? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Right there, okay? First thing it says, men love themselves. If we're not there today, I don't know where we're at. There are some things that are brought across my path today or this week to just make me sick. I just sick. What's going on in our in our culture in the United States and in our school systems with what some of these our kids are having to deal with today, I don't know how much longer we can keep going without the Lord intervening and saying, that's enough. I had a good brother, the Lord called me up this week, and he said, brother, I was at work this week, and I was talking to one of my coworkers, and they're distraught. They claim to be a Christian. This is in another state. And they said their daughter, 8-year-old daughter, came home with ungodly stuff. Ungodly stuff in a bag. Because she was being taught sexual things in the grade that she was in. 8 years old. 8 years old. 8 years old. Brethren, we've opened up a Pandora's box, and I don't think we realized where it's going to take us. Another brother saying that, I thought this was a joke because I saw an article somewhere saying, I didn't go in and read it, but it said in some school systems they're providing litter boxes for students that claim to identify as cats. And then I had somebody in this church tell me, yeah, this is happening in this school, in one of these schools around here. I saw the article somewhere else in the U.S. Brother, what are we going to do when, and I think in the DSM, which is the Diagnostics for Mental Illnesses, DSM-5 or the newer one that they put out, that basically that they're decriminalizing sexual perverts for molesting children. It's no longer considered a crime. It's a mental illness. No, it's not a mental. It's a crime. Because what do you look? Well, I like men. Well, we'll just accept you, and we'll just love one another, and we'll just accept that. Or I like women. We'll just love you, and we'll accept that, and we'll deal with that. What do you do with a 50-year-old man that says, "Well, I like 3-year-olds"? What do you do with that? Don't judge him now. Don't you dare judge him. I'm talking about the world now. Because if you accept one, you need to accept the other one now, because that's just the way I was made. And that's how I identify. Brethren, we don't understand the dangers that America has taken and the path that it is on. And it is on to destruction. Men are lovers of their own selves, and anything goes. You do whatever you want to do, be whatever you want to be. No, you cannot be whatever you want to be. That's one of the lies that America, there's a Pentecost America, you can just be whatever you want to be. No, you cannot. You cannot. I cannot be an F-16 pilot. There ain't no way. Number one, I'm not smart enough. Number two, I got glasses. Brethren, I cannot be a brain surgeon. No matter how bad I want to be a brain surgeon, I would not be able to be a brain surgeon. I'm not smart enough. There's some things people are good and gifted at, and there's other things they're not good and gifted at. But to put off this notion you can be whatever you want to be, no, you cannot. People are throwing a fit today because of all these men now competing in women's sports. Oh, you got what you want. We're equal, right? Brendan, I said that a couple months ago in this church. And now society is throwing a fit because men that are now women are competing in women's sports and they're blowing them out of the water. Well, I wonder why. Because God made them different. One's not better than it, but God made them different. You see, this know also in the perilous time shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Look what it says, though. All these individuals, this list here of knowing the perilous time, these things will come, and it gives a whole list here. And then it says about these individuals, because the sentence continues on. It's not a period at the end of verse number 4. It goes into verse number 5, having all these individuals having a form of godliness. Do you see, brethren? They're unstable. They're unlearned. They wrest the scriptures to their own destruction. Please hear me tonight, brethren, who may be listening on live stream. Please hear me tonight that there are individuals out there today that name the name of Jesus Christ. They may even carry a Bible under their arm, but they don't know the God that you and I know. It's a false God, it's a false Jesus, it's a false Christ, and it's a false church. Brethren, these individuals here are lovers of their own selves. They're covetous. They're boasters. They're proud. They're blasphemers. They're disobedient to their parents. They're not thankful. They're unholy. They don't try to live for God. They don't strive to live for God. They don't want a holy life. They don't want to strive for righteousness. They want to do what they want to do because they're a lover of their own self. They're without natural affection. They're truce breakers. They're false accusers. But they have a form of godliness. I love Jesus. I love Jesus as much as you love Jesus. I'm afraid we got a different Jesus, though. Brethren, unlearned, unstable, and it's to their destruction. 2 Peter chapter 3 talks about it, and here's the same type of principle, Paul writing to Timothy. Having a form of godliness, but look at this next thing, but denying the power thereof. Same type of principle you find in Hebrews chapter number 10. Being once enlightened, tasted of the heavenly gift, but no power. No power of the new life. They don't have no new power of the new life. They're going through the motions of Christianity in the power of the flesh rather than the power of the Holy Spirit of God. This one thing I know, when I got saved, something changed on the inside. I now have the Spirit of God whereby I cry, Abba, Father. Brethren, I don't know about you. I was talking with some people this week. I can't get away with nothing. Brethren, if you can sin and it not affect you, and you don't feel guilty about it, and God doesn't deal with you about it, and you don't feel conviction, and you don't feel like you need to get this thing right with God, and you're not miserable, and you're not being chastised by the Lord, something's right. Something's wrong with your salvation. Something is wrong with your salvation. If you can get away with sin, and ain't nothing happen. If you can get away with sin, and nothing happen. If you can pick up your beer, and you can pick up your whiskey, and you can have your cigarette in your mouth, and you can have a good old time with a party, something's wrong with your salvation. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm saying something's wrong. Because I know right now, I can't go to this bar and get me a Jack Daniels and pop a cigarette in my mouth and think everybody's going to be that fine. I'd be afraid to take two steps. Actually, I'd be scared to even be sitting there. Now again, I'm not saying somebody's not saved. I'm saying something's not right. But I love Jesus. Go to somebody's house and they got a case of beer in there, but I love Jesus. Brethren, I'm telling you, please see what the Lord, see what the Word of God says. I believe God's given warning after warning after warning. God gives warnings. But the Bible is clear, the principle is clear that you're going to have a group of individuals in the last days, perilous times shall come. You are going to have a large group of individuals who name the name of Jesus, yet there's no difference between them and the world. None. They go to church, they got their rock band, they got the lights, they got the smoke, they sing some praise and worship songs, they might even shed a few tears because they feel bad about a few things, and as soon as they walk out that door, there is no difference between them and the world. They cuss just like the world, they go drinking just like the world, they go watch the same movies the world goes to watch, they listen to the same music the world listens to, no difference other than on a Sunday you might come to church for a little bit, but even in that, it's a rock service. Take your Bible, look what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Brethren, when you're saved, there ought to be a difference between you and the world. There ought to be a difference. Christ Jesus makes a difference. Christ Jesus, when he walked this planet, what did the world? The world hated Jesus. Jesus said that himself. He said, the world hated hates me. And Jesus said, if the world's going to hate me, guess what? It's going to hate you as well as you strive to live with them. Look what Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 11. Knowing therefore, please hear me, look what the scriptures say. Well, look at verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So that means you can either do good after you're saved, or you can do bad in your body after you're saved. Doesn't affect your salvation. You cannot lose your salvation. But after your salvation, Paul says here to the Corinthian church, you can do good or you can do bad. Look what he says next then in verse number 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Brethren, I try to persuade men, and I'll try to persuade this church, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, that we have to face that judgment seat of Christ, that we have to stand before him someday and give an account of how we lived. I don't want to be unlearned. I don't want to be unstable, and I don't want to rest the scriptures to my own destruction. You see, I believed I could rest it to my own destruction in the sense of losing this physical body. You see, I believe in Corinthians, it shows with the Lord's Supper that some of them were taking it unworthily and the Lord took them out. You see, it used to be a serious thing to lie against the Holy Ghost of God. It used to be a serious thing to take lightly the things of God. And you found in the beginning of the church there in Corinth that there were some individuals that were taking the Lord's Supper unworthily and God was taking them out. He was killing them. Look at Ananias and Sapphira, struck dead because they lied against the Holy Ghost. Paul says here, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I'm trying to persuade us this evening that we have to give an account to God. Verse 12, for we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. Look what he says in verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they, look what it says here, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You see, once you're saved, Paul goes on and says in other parts here in Corinthians that you're not your own. You're bought with a price. And Paul tries to get the church and the brethren here to realize and say to them, listen, he says to them that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. But you see, some forget these things. Some are unlearned. Some are unstable. Look back at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1. 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 11 or 10. Remember, one of the definitions for unlearned was forgotten. Look what 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10 says. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse number 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and what hath forgotten that he was purged from his own sins. Unlearned. Ignorant. Same chapter. Go back to chapter 3 in 2 Peter. Look at verse number 1. Ignorant. For sake of time, look at verse number 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that the word of God, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. They're ignorant, they forget, they're unlearned, they're not instructed. And they have not gained information or learned by studying. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show yourself approved unto God. So that what purpose? So that you're not unlearned and you're not unstable. Now, unstable, not fixed or wavering. All right? Someone that's unstable, they're not fixed, they waver. But what is this unstableness? I don't think when Peter says here in the last verses here in verse number 16, I don't think he's talking about brethren who can't walk straight or have trouble walking or trip or they can't stand up because they're unstable. I think it's in a spiritual sense, and because they rest and then they also do the other scriptures under their own destruction. So that means they're wavering, they're not fixed, they're not established upon the Bible, upon what the Word of God says, because they're unlearned, because they don't study, or they've forgotten what they study, or they misconstrue or distort what they've studied to their own destruction. We're not going to read it tonight, but you go right back. If you read 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 22, you have individuals who come in and teach for sake of time. Look at verse number 13, 2 Peter chapter 2. Peter's saying, repeating what he said in chapter 2 in verse number 16. He says in verse 13, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Now, I looked up that word sporting. Very interesting. It has to deal with sports, but it also has to deal with that which diverts and makes merry. It means playing or games, but it can also mean a diversion. It can also mean that which is driven about. They are sporting themselves, it says in verse 13, with their own deceivings. You know what? I believe we can deceive ourselves sometimes. I think we can deceive ourselves sometimes. Well, how do you keep from self-deception? By getting your Bible and staying in your Bible. By reading what the Word of God says. By being grounded in the Word. By asking God to examine us, try us, know us, search us, purge us, see if there be any wicked way in me, Lord. Let me know, dear God, an honest heart. I'm not going to get into it. I got getting a message put together of people being willing to be honest in their heart. Because if you're honest in your heart, you'll have a free spirit. You'll have a free spirit. And there's a whole thing with that. I'm trying to get it together now. But ultimately, it comes down to people being honest in their heart. Being honest right here. That's what the Lord's looking for. Sporting themselves. Flip over to James real quick tonight. The book of James chapter 1. Unlearned, unstable, using the scriptures to their own destruction. 1 Peter chapter, or James chapter 1, verse 1. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and braideth not, it should be given him. But let him ask in faith, here it is, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Being double-minded or double-tongued. Double-minded or double-tongued. An unstable individual. Being tossed around, not settled. With that in mind, flip over a couple pages previously to Hebrews chapter 10 and look at verse 19. Yes. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, look what he says, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold fast. Let us hold fast. What are we to hold fast? The profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Hold fast your profession of your faith without wavering. Staying steadfast, which leads me into the last thing this evening. Back to 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter closes up with verse 17, saying, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Do you see what Peter's saying here as he closes out this final letter? He warns the brethren again. He says, beware, beware, beware. Peter's saying, I'm trying to give you warning. I'm trying to, as I'm finishing up my letter to you, he says, I want you to beware again that you're not led astray with the error of who? The wicked. Why? Why should we? Because you could fall from your own steadfastness. You can fall from your own steadfastness. You can fall from where you used to be to where you don't want to be no more. Standing on what's right. Standing on the principles of Scripture. How many have fallen today? I'm not saying they lost their salvation. I'm not saying they're saved. I'm saying how many Christians today have fallen from where they used to be? How many churches have fallen from what they used to be and what they used to stand for, to compromise? To compromise. To keep a younger generation in. To try to keep the teens in and give them something to do and keep to appease the families that have teens. And they've compromised what they used to stand for 40, 50, 60 years ago. And they've fallen from their own steadfastness. They're not what they used to be. Because they've been led astray by the error of the wicked. Brethren, I don't want to fall from my own steadfastness found in Jesus Christ. This is an important principle as we close up here. Because Paul mentions the same thing. And if Paul and Peter are mentioning it back 2,000 years ago, where are we at in the day and hour we're living today? The warning needs to go out to help us to stay steadfast. Let's close with these scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57 and 58. We can have victory. We can finish our course. We can keep the faith. We can stay steadfast. We can fight the battles, we can gain victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Keep fighting, keep standing for what's right, keep drawing closer to the Lord. Don't be moved by what this world is doing. Don't fall from your own steadfastness. Rather, always abound in what? The work of the Lord. Abound, abound, abound. So that you're neither barren nor unfruitful in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that you don't forget that you were purged from your own sins. So that you don't get an ignorant attitude of saying, well, where is the promise of his coming? For since everything's continued as it was from the beginning of creation. So that you're not unlearned or unstable and fall into the trap of the wicked. Paul says, be steadfast, be unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Last two verses, look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and then we're going to look at 1 Peter dealing with the adversary. First, Ephesians chapter 4, and look at verse number 17. Well, no. verse 11. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For what purpose? Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Falling from what we read there in 2 Peter chapter 3. There it is here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Verse 15, no, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Jump down to verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. You want to keep from falling from your own steadfastness? Don't follow the ways of the world. Don't follow the ways of the world. Read Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. Who are you yielding to? Who are you yielding to? To the ways of the world or to the cause of Christ? Verse number 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We're to put on a new man. We're going to get to a point here as we close up. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to who? The devil. You see what the Bible says here as we close out? Paul gives final warning there in Ephesians, says, don't give place to the devil. You know why? Because we can give place to the devil. We can give place to the devil. It says, neither give place to the devil. With that in mind, we'll close with 1 Peter chapter 5. Giving place to the devil. Giving place to the devil. I believe when we give place to the devil, the opportunity is to fall. 1 Peter chapter 5, and verse number 7. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Look what it says in verse 9. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Brethren, as we read through our Bibles throughout the week, we need to ask the Lord, I need to ask the Lord, that Lord, help us to apply what we read. To apply what we read. Not just read it, but then ask God to help me now apply what I've read. For this purpose, it does good to read the Bible. I believe that. I'm not going to say don't read your Bible. What I'm saying, though, it does no good to just read your Bible and then not try to apply what you've read. To then put into actions the directions that have just been given to you. I can get directions on how to build a bookshelf, and I can pull the directions out, and I can know the directions inside and out, and know exactly how to put that bookshelf together, but it does no good for me until I start getting my hands on that bookshelf and start putting that bookshelf together. And if I need to go back to directions, I go back to the directions, but now I need to put into practice what I've read from the instructions. And it's the same way with the Bible. We take what we get from the Bible, we learn the Bible, we memorize the Bible, but then it's imperative that we put it into practice so that we're not unlearned and unstable. That it is a practical Christianity, not just a mental Christianity. Not just a Christianity that's in the mind that can spout out the right answers, but a Christianity that is alive, vibrant, settled, established, strengthened in the power of Jesus Christ to be a testimony in this perverse nation that we live in so that we can shine as lights, holding forth the word of truth. See, it does, I'm going to close, it does no good to give someone a track and then minutes later negate that what the track you just gave them. I remember being with a man one time, and I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed. We were at a store. He was the type of individual he would give. I mean, everybody tracks. But I remember being with this person, and they gave a track, and then they said something off color, an off color joke. You better be careful. We better be careful what comes out of our mouth and the jokes we might say or the comments we might make that may not be completely appropriate. Well, that was this case. And I'm thinking, I remember looking at the cashier and her face just kind of like, why did you even give them a track? I've been out before with individuals that have had a large family and the kids were little hellions, for lack of a better word. Crawling over booze, throwing food, uncontrollable. And this was a Christian family. And I was praying the whole time, please do not lead a track, and please do not say you're a Christian and what church you go to. Please don't. Because you can't control your children. And it's a bad testimony. When a Christian, look, that's one of the prerequisites for a pastor. If he can't keep his kids in control, he ought not to be no pastor. If a man cannot control his own children and they're wild little and they're running all, you can't be no pastor. You better know how you control your children. Look, people thought I think I'm crazy. I used to take my boys out. This was before Ellie was born. There was a park across the street, and they were probably, I don't know, maybe 5, 4, 3, just enough where they can walk in. And we were walking along the park or there, and I turn around and say, sit down. Bloop. All right, get up. Bloop. All right, let's go. Why'd you make me sit down? Because I just wanted to see if you'd be obedient. Sometimes the Lord may do things in our life to just make sure to see if we'll just be obedient for no reason or no cause. There may be no reason. I had no reason why I did that other than the fact I wanted you to obey when I said, I need you to obey. And God may do those types of things in our life to keep us from taking our own selves out. You see, because I did it for this purpose, if my kid's running towards the street because there's a ball, and I say stop, I need him to stop because I don't want to see my kid get hit by a car. And that's why I would train him like that. I need you to listen when I want you to listen without asking questions. I don't know down here, and it's not like this up here that I know of. I mean, maybe it is in some places up here, but down in South Carolina and some of those rivers, it's really bad for snakes. That's why I won't go on a river down in South Carolina in a canoe or kayak or boat. You can keep it. I ain't going on one unless it's wide open. Because if you go on some of those Edisto, one of the rivers down there near Charleston is called the Edisto River, and it's a pretty narrow river in some places, but they got a lot of overhanging brush and trees, and those snakes will go up in those trees and they'll drop down in the boats or kayaks. No, sir. I don't like snakes as it is, but I want to be on equal ground if I'm seeing them. And so I say this to say there's been times in my yard, the yard I have back home, we had a lot of copperheads. And if I saw my kid running and there was a snake there and I see it but they don't see it and I tell them to stop, I need them to stop. You see, so we don't get hurt. Obedience. A practical lived out Christianity, not just a theory Christianity. Not just something in theory, but that it's acted out. Not that I have in my head the knowledge of how to do everything and answer everything and how to handle every situation, but now I need to be put into the situations to handle them. And that's when you realize how much of a Christian you really are. When you start getting the practical applications and the practical tests, That's when it starts coming out how far short you've fallen from the glory of God. Now you're saved, but you realize I'm not really what I think. What I think I am as a Christian here does not equate to how I live as a Christian. Does that make sense tonight? Because when somebody cuts me off in traffic, my real Christian nature comes out. That, look, I'm serious. When you're, how do you get oil? I'm almost done. When they got oil of olive, how do you get olive oil? You got to press it. And you got to press it. And you got to press it. How do you get grape juice? You put it in a vat. You put it in a thing. And what do? They go in there and they go in with their feet. They used to in old times so that you didn't crush the pit. I think I'm saying it right. Why? Because if you crush that pit, it'll make it bitter. It'll destroy it. So that's why they would go in their feet, because their feet are soft. But you crush those grapes. When you crush those grapes, what comes out? Something very delicious. Something wonderful. When you press a flower, a fragrance comes out. But it's got to be pressed in order for that fragrance to come out. Christians need to go through that press in order for the fragrance to come out. But unfortunately, sometimes the fragrance that comes out doesn't smell very good. But you see, we got to go through the pressing of the Lord, because He desires for a sweet-smelling savor to come out from our lives. You see, we can be a beautiful flower, but the smell can't come out until it's pressed. That oil can't be used until it's pressed. That juice cannot be used until it's pressed. There's a whole sermon on that right there. But are you willing to be pressed? Let patience have her perfect work. It's a difficult task. But see, we got to be willing to go through the fire. Because when you go through the fire, the true you is going to come out. When your buttons are pushed, what comes out? I don't want to hear, well, I know Bible. No. That's good for there. What happens when your buttons are pushed? What comes out? Same question to me that I'm asking you. I'm not saying, I'm just asking. No, what buttons come out when Chris Welton's buttons are pushed? When your buttons are pushed, what comes out? Is it a sweet-smelling savor? Or is it another smell? That's not pleasant. That's what the Lord's looking for. The theoretical knowledge is good, but the practical knowledge is better. Verse 18, 2 Peter 3. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. It's a growing process, brethren. We're to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's the same thing He said back in chapter 1, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are you willing to let the Lord grow you, make you, purge you, try you, get you to where the Lord desires for you, where He desires for you to be in your Christian walk? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace, Lord, that you have with me. Thank you for these scriptures, dear God. Thank you for 2 Peter. Thank you for Peter, Lord. Lord, I'm thankful for Peter. Lord, I'm thankful for the life he lived. And we get an opportunity, Lord, to get a glimpse in some parts of his life and some of these letters that he wrote here. And Lord, I pray, dear God, you'd help us to apply these things. Lord, it wouldn't just be mere knowledge, but it would be action. Lord, it would be practical. Lord, that for this purpose, dear God, to give you glory and honor. Lord, that our lives would reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. And that this world would see a difference. Now I ask for your help, Lord, as we go through the remaining here of this service. Lord, that you would just be honored and magnified and glorified. And we pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. As we end up here. Does anybody have any prayer requests this evening that they'd like us to pray about?
Josh is going for his third set of treatments Thursday, tomorrow. Okay. They say his spirits are good.
Amen. So Amen.
dealing with it.
You said there's four he's got to go through?
He's got four. Okay. This is the third one.
Amen. So are they traveling this evening?
I don't know. I wasn't informed of that, but probably.
Amen. So keep Josh in prayer as he goes for his third cancer treatment. These treatments will help him remove that cancer that he's dealing with. So keep him in prayer and his dad. Anybody else have anything? Chris?
I'll be contacting the probate court in the county of San Francisco tomorrow. Hope I find out some salient information and everything goes well in my pursuit to purchase the house down here. And just physically for my health and strength and safety.
Just keep Brother Chris in prayer as he contacts the court out there in San Francisco and tries to purchase the house here, and also for his health and safety.
I'm almost finished emptying the garage, so that'll be a blessing.
Amen. Amen. Does anybody else have an opinion? Ms. Kathy?
My mom, with all these life events going on, she just is going in and out of depression, the dementia.
Yes, ma'am. Just keep Ms. Kathy's mother in prayer. Mr. Glover?
Yeah, my sister's husband, Jim, just had surgery today. They took out in his neck his lymph nodes on both sides, his thyroid, and I don't think he's going to need chemo, but he's going to need to take some radiation type of thing. So he just got back after six-hour operation, and he was sick, and apparently he wasn't a real happy camper, which certainly understand.
So keep Jim in prayer with the surgery he had to remove some lymph nodes and thyroid, and with the radiation he may have to deal with. Does anybody else have anything they want to go this evening? This is a prayer request that I wanted to bring up. He's a good friend and known him for 20-some years now, but I've mentioned him before in one of his prayer letters back there. Alan McFall and his wife Cheryl, they've been going through it over there in Kyrgyzstan with the orphanage, and they've had four young kids there that have been sick. They've been going through the ringer over there. And then, so I want to read these things because I got little updates from them every other day or so, especially with what's going on in Ukraine and them being fairly close to that area. He says, just another short update. Please keep this young man in prayer. His name's LT. He says, LT is doing about the same, still having pain, swelling, and a small knot on his side. He has not gotten worse, and he has said it seems a little better. They sent him home. He's the one that was bleeding, but they did some work, but they sent him back home saying he's all right, but they're not sure yet. And there's also this young man named Misha. If you could please pray for this young man. It says, Misha went to the doctor today and has had a lot of tests. He just got out of the hospital because they're trying to figure out what's going on with his urethra, his bladder, and his kidneys. It says the doctor believes the issue is with the urethra. As it goes into the bladder, it is too small. He said the kidneys are not working 100%. The doctor feels they will shut down soon. How soon, we don't know. He wants to put a drain tube into the bladder, I believe, for 1 month. This is to give the bladder and kidneys time to rest. The next step would be surgery to fix or replace a small section of the urethra. All this is way out of my understanding. So much prayer for wisdom. He also has two other young men that were dealing with Sasha and Vlad are doing well. Both are still taking their medication. He says, with the war going on, we knew that it would only be a short time before we were affected here. Already we are having trouble getting our money out of the bank. The amount we can take out at once has dropped, and we have not been able to find an ATM that will give us dollars. Today we went for produce and found that there are already limits on several items. Oil is one. Some items are no longer on the shelves. Already there are some medicines we cannot buy. And of course there's growing sentiment towards Americans. It's all our fault. No worries. It will get worse. The bright side is we are much closer to getting to see our Lord's face. Please keep him in prayer, because then he sends this next update pretty quick after that. He says, LT is doing better each day. I don't like the holes that are the doctor's left. They seem to get bigger. Brethren, thank God. Please do not complain about the healthcare system in the United States of America. Don't complain about your doctor. Don't complain about your dentist. Don't complain about your eye doctor. Brethren, we don't know what bad healthcare is until you go to another country. They sent this young man home and he still had holes in his stomach. Brother, I dealt with an individual that got shot in the stomach down in the Dominican Republic, and they did a fake surgery on him, sent him home, and when I picked him up at the bus stop at the bottom of the mountain to bring him back up to his house, he got to that bus stop, and another Christian was with him, and he was walking like this, and he got in my truck, and he smelled like poop. So I got him out of the car, because he was in pain. He had just got done being in a hospital, surgery. Pull back the bandage, and he's going to the bathroom through his intestines because they didn't fix it right. So we took him back behind a dumpster and tried to clean it out as best we could and trying to get him back to the hospital again. Brethren, we got it good in the United States of America. He says, I don't like the holes that the doctors left. They seem to get bigger. At the top of his incision is a small red area. It looks like an infection. Still no fever, so we'll keep an eye on it. Misha had to have a tube surgically put into his bladder. This will stay for 1 month in hopes that the creatine will drop back to 100. His is at 300. If the creatine is still high, he cannot have the surgery to correct his urethra. He was told there would be no pain, but they lied. He has been in pain. He should come home tomorrow, but with his doctor, we don't know. It is bad when you cannot trust your doctor. We have finally been able to get our money out of the bank. The limit per transaction dropped, but we were able to get money for now. No one can wire money out of the country. It is said that the supply chain here is going to get worse. The biggest problem is not that there is a shortage, but the people see a chance to jack prices up and they do it. As you probably know, America is a joke of the world right now. Everything is our fault, the war, the high prices, shortages, and so on. This breaks my heart to see the fall of our great nation, but we don't find in America as a world power in the book of Revelation. Everything is going according to God's plan. I wish we could win more souls in these last days and hours. Please join us in prayer for lost souls around the world, and that knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. So please keep Brother McFall in prayer and his wife Cheryl, the kids that they're working with there in the orphanage, their money situation, their food situation, these young men that have had surgeries, that God would help them, strengthen them, encourage them, and that they won't quit. Please pray that these missionaries don't quit. He could easily buy a plane ticket and right back to the States. And then you got those kids there that can't do the same thing. So God bless some of our missionaries that are in some places that are pretty bad right now in this world. So please keep them in prayer. Heisen family, please keep them in prayer as they continue to minister there in Romania and to those refugees. Got a lot to pray for. Does anybody have anything else they want brought up in prayer? Amen. So we're going to take 10 minutes here. We're going to go to Lord in prayer. 10 minutes, I'll close out. And then Brother Jim DeLucia, after I'm praying, can you close us out in the final prayer? So let's go to Lord here for the next 10 minutes of prayer.